We're all polluted. I talked to a guy at Florida Power and Light, where my wife works the other day, a plant manager down there, and he had to lay this pipe across the top of the ground, and I asked him why he didn't bury the pipe, and he said, because we're afraid of the oil that'll seep up if we start digging. We got to clean that up. And what if we hired and clean up the lakes, the polluted lakes, and the polluted air? Let's come up with those technologies. And what if we took another percentage of our military budget and hired Cargill and Monsanto and Dole and Chiquita to come up with ways that the starving people of Africa can grow crops more efficiently and can develop storage and distribution systems that are much more efficient to feed themselves locally and each other? There's a whole economy out there waiting. You know, we all talk about sustainable energy, and that's terribly important, but there's so much more that we could be doing. And that's how we get a safer world, too. I mean, this military is not going to do away with terrorism as long as there's starving, desperate people in the world. And there's certainly a lot of terrorists who are not starving and desperate, like the one in Detroit and Bin Laden, but they don't get a good following unless there's desperate people. So if we can start doing these things, we're going to truly create a better world. And there's a tremendous opportunity out there for us to move into a new economy. It's where we must go. We have incredible potential for doing that. So what can you do? What can we each do? And I want to start by just saying that there is an amazing revolution going on today in Latin America. It's incredible. I just talked about Nicaragua. But we now have 10 countries in Latin America representing 80% of the population of South America who in just the last few years have elected presidents who are saying no more exploitation. We're not putting up with predatory capitalism anymore. Omar Torrijos was assassinated in 1981. I have no doubt he was assassinated. But now finally, his dream is coming true. There's a revolution in Latin America. One of the people that I find most fascinating is Rafael Correa, president of Ecuador. Correa has a PhD in economics from the University of Illinois. He speaks four languages fluently. He knows the system really, really well. And he says, I am a capitalist, and I see absolutely no reason why capitalism can't be used to take the resources from Ecuador and raise our poorest people up by their bootstraps. And I also want to say here that, you know, there may be better systems than capitalism. I'm not arguing that point right now, but it's the one we've got at the moment, so let's work on fixing it. But so Korea is taking this lead in that direction, and incidentally, Ecuador just rewrote its constitution. It came up with a whole new constitution. It's the first constitution in the history of the world that gives inalienable rights to nature. Yay, Ecuador. About 80% of the population turned out to vote and ratify that constitution. Revolution going on. 10 countries, in every one of these 10 countries in Latin America, during most of my lifetime, was ruled by brutal dictators. Every one of these countries was ruled by brutal dictators, mostly under the control of the CIA. That's all changed in the last few years. Something amazing is happening in Latin America. And I think in this country, something amazing happened. When we voted for an African-American, the most liberal senator in the Senate, to replace a very conservative Texas oil man, Republican, we sent a very strong message. Regardless of what you think of Obama, whether you voted for him or not, or what you think of what he's doing now, a strong message was sent. We the people spoke, as they are in Latin America. So now we've got to speak louder. And, you know, I think one of the biggest problems was so many people said, okay, Obama's now president, I can just sit back and let him do his thing. He can't do his thing. He needs us to do it. He said that. He needs us to do it. So what can you do? The most important thing is for you to recognize that you have tremendous power. you have power, a lot of power, and to really understand this. You know, I'm often struck by, when I grew up in rural New Hampshire, and I had no idea that African Americans in my country had to ride on the back of the bus in many parts of my country until Rosa Parks showed me. How many people here have heard of Rosa Parks? Who the hell was Rosa Parks? A seamstress. And one of the founders, I suppose, of the NAACP. In fact, she's probably the one, she brought Martin Luther King Jr. into the public picture, all by sitting at the front of a bus. You could do that. You can sit at the front of a bus. And I had no idea growing up in New Hampshire that the DDT we were spraying on the swamp behind my house to kill mosquitoes was also killing birds and fish, until Rachel Carson wrote Silent Spring and started a whole environmental movement. How many people here have heard of Rachel Carson? Who was Rachel Carson? She wrote a book. She had no idea when she started writing that book that it would ever be published. She had no idea when she finished writing the book that it would ever be published. She certainly had no idea it was going to have such a huge impact, but it did. And who was Martin Luther King Jr.? Where did he come from? He had no idea that he was going to have such an impact. You're all of these people. You have that power too. Listen to that baby crying. That's what this talk is all about, that baby.